Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. On today's show, Vanessa McNevin from Northern Lights Regional Health Foundation joins us to talk about the Tim Hortons Smile Cookie Campaign, as they'll be receiving the funds from the Smile Cookie Campaign this year. We also hear from Emily Smith from Alberta Wildfire on the risks and consequences of flying drones near wildfires. And lastly, Mark Holzer from the Canadian Red Cross on preparing for wildfire season. Joining me on the phone here today, Vanessa McNevin, the Executive Director of the Northern Lights Regional Health Foundation. Vanessa, how's it going here today?
Great, Ryan. How are you doing again?
Doing well as well. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Fort McMurray Matters today. The Smile Cookie Campaign is back, and the Northern Lights Regional Health Foundation are the beneficiaries of this exciting and fun campaign. How good does that feel?
Oh, it feels amazing, Ryan. We're so excited to have the opportunity to be the recipient of the funds raised for the local Smile Cookie Campaign with our Tim Hortons here in Wood Buffalo.
So how important are partnerships like this for the Health Foundation?
Partnerships like this Tim Hortons Smile Cookie with the Health Foundation are so essential to helping our mission. It helps us with fundraising, awareness, and really fun community engagement, because who doesn't love cookies?
That's exactly it, right? I understand the Health Foundation has been the beneficiary of the Smile Cookie Campaign in the past. How has that funding helped the foundation?
Oh my goodness, we have been so grateful for this continued partnership with Tim Hortons here in our region. And that has really supported some of our initiatives with funding critical medical equipment and technology, some facility upgrades here within the hospital and different healthcare centers throughout the region, program services and community outreach and education. So we hit all disciplines in all health and wellness throughout the Wood Buffalo region. And without the support of the Smile Cookie Campaign and those third-party events, we wouldn't be able to do that.
Are there any areas of focus or urgent needs you're looking to address with the help of the funds from this campaign?
Oh gosh, the list is ongoing, but some of the big things that we hope to fund, support fund with this Smile Cookie Campaign with Tim Hortons is we need a bariatric wheelchair, two operating tables for the OR, as we just finished the creation of the MIS suites, and we need some new bassinets for maternity. They are getting a little beat up there and very, very outdated. So we would like to be able to gift some of those proceeds to support some of those needs within here at the hospital in Fort McMurray.
Do you have a fundraising goal this time of year around for the Smile Cookie Campaign?
Oh, we always have a goal, Ryan. I think what we could say is we'd love to sell 20,000 cookies. That would make us, they're $1.50 each, that would make us $30,000. Because 100% of the proceeds go back to us here. So that would be really, really exciting. I will say the Wood Buffalo community always exceeds our goal. We do tend to raise more than that, but we really hope the community comes together, gets out, buys some cookies, and helps us sell those 20,000 cookies that we hope to sell.
I imagine this week will be all about trying to get people to buy those 20,000 cookies as they can. Maybe just elaborate on the efforts that the Northern Lights Regional Health Foundation is going to be, you know, taking part in this week to sell those cookies.
Yeah, so we have Jackie Parley, who is leading the overseeing of this campaign, and we will be at every location all across Wood Buffalo, so your Eagle Ridge, your Thickwood, your downtown, and up in Gregoire, all this week, right until Sunday, May 5th. You can purchase your cookies in person, but you also can pre-order, which is really, really convenient, and set a pickup time. So how to do that is you would visit our social medias or our website, or give us a call at 780-791-6041 and speak to any of the team here at the foundation. We can get you the form to pre-order your cookies so you can come grab them and take them to wherever you want to go without having to wait in the lineup.
What's your message to folks who will be going out and getting Smile cookies this week?
I think our message to community is it's $1.50. This is a great way to be able to give back to community, and every dollar stays local. 100% of the proceeds stay here in Wood Buffalo. And it's just a great opportunity. And you get a cookie, and it has a smiley face on it. It's just a win-win. It's such an incredible campaign, and we're so grateful to Tim Hortons, the local management here, and the executives across Canada who have continued to partner with us. And we can't wait to see you, all of our team, and your smiling faces as we hand out smiling faces on our cookies.
Great to hear. Vanessa McNevin, the Executive Director of the Northern Lights Regional Health Foundation. Anything else you'd like to add on this?
Nothing, Ryan. Great talk to you, and we can't wait to see everybody else this week. We are already started. We are at all the locations, and look forward to seeing you all this week.
Well, best of luck. Hope you guys hit that fundraising goal this week. Vanessa McNevin, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Ryan.
We'll be back with more from Fort McMurray Matters after the break.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today, Emily Smith, a wildfire information officer with the province of Alberta. Emily, how's it going here today?
Really good. How are you going? How are you doing?
Doing well, Emily. Today, wanted to ask about drones. What are the rules around flying drones during wildfire season?
So, flying drones are okay as long as they are outside of 5 nautical miles or 9.3 kilometers around an active wildfire. So as long as you stay outside of that area, you're okay to fly a drone. Basically, anytime you see a fire, like, keep your drone away from any sort of fire activity.
What exactly is the hazard with flying drones near these wildfires?
So when we discover a wildfire that requires firefighting efforts, we put a NOTAM in place for the airspace over the wildfire. So a NOTAM stands for Notice to Air Mission. So this means that this airspace is controlled by Alberta Forestry so that we know what aircraft is in the airspace at all times. So all pilots and aircraft require clearance before flying into the NOTAM. And to do that, they must get into radio contact with Alberta Forestry for approval. And then because we use aircraft to fight wildfires in the Fort McMurray forest area, it's essential to ensure that forestry knows what aircraft is in the space and to ensure that all aircraft are communicating with forestry and each other to avoid any sort of airspace conflicts.
I understand flying drones near wildfires has grounded helicopters in the past. How impactful is that during a wildfire season like this?
So it can be quite impactful because when you operate a drone within, or basically when a drone is detected near a active wildfire, it immediately halts all firefighting operations because it's not safe to be operating aircraft that we don't know about within a NOTAM. So it really does impact our operations. So we just ask everybody to please not do it because it's not safe.
I understand this has happened as recently as Sunday the 21st. Have there been any other recent incidents or examples where drone activity has impeded firefighting operations in that Fort McMurray forest area?
None that I am aware of. Not recently.
What are the penalties for flying a drone too close to the wildfire zone?
So when you operate a drone within a NOTAM without proper clearance, it creates a really unsafe environment for crews, pilots, and anybody else involved with dealing with this wildfire. So individuals charged with operating a drone within a NOTAM without the proper clearance can be faced with a summons to appear in court and a criminal conviction. So essentially, like, if a drone were to collide with another aircraft, it could have catastrophic effects, and could very well cause loss of life. So it's really, really important.
How do emergency response agencies collaborate with other organizations such as law enforcement or aviation authorities to address the challenge of drone interference during these wildfire incidents?
We all communicate with each other, and we make sure everybody is, you know, aware of any sort of hazards in the area, especially when there could be multiple agencies working on the same wildfire, for example. So we do our best to keep in touch with anybody that is involved so that everybody is as safe as possible.
This isn't just a local issue either. Fire crews in BC and the U.S. Pacific Northwest have also had to deal with this. Is that concerning?
I mean, any sort of unidentified aircraft within a NOTAM is concerning. Just because there is such a high risk of catastrophic outcomes, that's why it's really so important to abide by all the rules that are in place to keep everybody that is working on the fire as safe as possible.
What would your message be to drone enthusiasts during this wildfire season?
I understand that the people are very curious, and I understand that people want to see what's going on for themselves, but please do not fly a drone within 5 nautical miles or 9.3 kilometers of an active wildfire, because you could be potentially putting anybody working on this fire at risk, and they are working to try and control the wildfire. So if we get all our aircraft downed because there's an unidentified drone in the air, we can't do our job. So we please just ask that you do not fly an aircraft of, you know, a drone or anything like that over a wildfire, because it puts everybody at risk, and we want to keep everybody as safe as possible.
Emily Smith, the Wildfire Information Officer with the Province of Alberta. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
I think that's it. It's a really important topic, so I'm glad I got to talk about it today. Thank you.
Awesome, Emily. Well, thank you so much for the time here. And again, an important topic to discuss. Thanks for your insight on this.
Thanks so much.
We'll have more for you next here on Fort McMurray Matters.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today, Mark Holzer, the Provincial Manager of Emergency Management at Canadian Red Cross. Mark, how's it going here today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Hey, glad to have you on the show here, Mark. What goes into preparing for a wildfire season like this?
There's a lot of different factors. One is starting with looking at the forecasted risk of hazards. So even in the winter, looking at, you know, what kind of winter are we having, the amount of precipitation and snowpack that we have that can indicate how dry the upcoming wildfire season might be, and identifying what areas might be at higher risk, and then looking at how do we prepare to best support those communities should they be evacuated and we get a request for assistance.
So when you get that request for assistance, say it's a worst case scenario situation where people are evacuating, potentially losing their homes, what does the Canadian Red Cross do in those instances?
Well, we work with local partners, local municipalities, Indigenous leadership, and figuring out how can we support. So we want to make sure that we're not duplicating any supports or resources, and it's a coordinated effort. So really looking at how can the Red Cross support the local authorities with their evacuation plans and see where those gaps might be and how the Red Cross can fit in. It could be a range of services, from providing relief supplies, cots, blankets, hygiene kits, cleanup kits, to providing support and in terms of personnel to be able to provide emergency food, lodging support.
With wildfire season becoming more unpredictable and severe in recent years, what are some key steps individuals and families can take to prepare themselves and their homes for the possibility of wildfires?
Yeah, so folks should really take a look at their individual circumstances, right? No one has the same situation, and so you need to tailor it to your household. Who's in your household? What are their specific needs? Do you have pets? What are your own personal resources to be able to evacuate quickly and safely if you're needing assistance, knowing where you could look for that assistance from your local municipality as well. It's always a good idea to try and put together a kit, so should you need to evacuate, you're taking all of the important things that you would need with you immediately, clothing, food, and water for 3 to 5 days, any important documents, medication, those kinds of things. If you have pets, supplies for your pets as well.
Could you outline some of those, essential items? You mentioned, making sure everyone knows that, every family is different, but maybe some of those blanket essential items and supplies that should be included in that wildfire emergency kit or evacuation bag, particularly for those living in high-risk areas that may need to travel far away from home.
Yeah, certainly. So you want to look at what would you need should you evacuate. And it's been shown that people that are a little bit more prepared for evacuations fare a little bit better. Stress and anxiety is a little bit lower. It won't fully go away because it's a traumatic event. But how can you better prepare yourself to ease some of that? So if you're better prepared and knowing what's happening and where you might be going, then you'll fare a little bit better. But really, you want to look at what do you need, right? Clothing, food that you're able to take with you, how are you going to prepare it, those kinds of things, as well as any important documents that you might need, identification, those kinds of things, medication, any medical equipment as well. So you have that quickly accessible to be able to take with you.
How you've mentioned this a little earlier on, but how does the Canadian Red Cross collaborate with local communities, governments, and other organizations to promote wildfire preparedness and resilience?
Well, in terms of the preparedness, we do meet with partners just to identify where some of those potential gaps might be and how the Red Cross could assist. So we're able to quickly activate our teams. But it's also looking at how can we share preparedness information, preparing some of this information to communities and individuals through presentations, community events as well, really sharing the information around the Fire Smart program. So what can people do around their homes to make their homes a little less susceptible to impacts of wildfire? So clearing away any kind of debris around your home, making sure that you're removing sort of some of that fuel that wildfires might want to consume.
Are there any specific challenges or obstacles Canadians should be aware of when it comes to wildfire preparedness, especially in remote or rural areas like Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo?
I think knowledge and awareness is really key. So you'll want to make sure that you know what are the hazards and risks in your area and how much of those are risks to your individual situation. You're also wanting to keep in mind, should you need to evacuate, what are some of the routes that you might take? So it's always important to listen to local authority direction, but keeping in mind those things change. So you might have one specific plan that might need to change. So be flexible on that and just really keeping awareness of situations and changing events and knowing where to find updated information. So don't spend the time during the event of where am I getting this information. Know some of those resources ahead of time. Social media, your municipality's website, the Alberta government. So you're able to pull that up quickly and identify where you should be going should there be an activation for evacuation.
Obviously, it's hard to predict, but already with so many wildfires this year in Alberta, do you believe this will be a busier spring and summer for the Red Cross in Alberta?
That's what we're anticipating. It was a very dry winter, not a lot of precipitation. We're already looking at very high fire risk and drought conditions across the province, and we're needing some rain as well. So those are all indicators that the potential for a higher fire risk is likely. We've already seen a number of wildfire alerts and evacuation orders, and it's still early in April, so it's a little bit earlier than typical. So we just have to wait and see what's happening with the weather patterns and whatnot. But we are anticipating that it might be a more busy year for us, and we're trying to prepare and have those conversations with communities.
And I imagine the Red Cross has no shortage of resources online for people to, you know, have available on hand. I was wondering if you'd be able to, tell us about those and, where we can find them.
Absolutely. So through our website, you're able at redcross.ca, you're able to find a lot of information on preparedness that individuals and families can take, but also information on relief and recovery as well. So should somebody be impacted by an event, finding out how they could receive assistance, should it be available and needed.
All right, good to hear. Mark Holzer, the Provincial Manager of Emergency Management for the Canadian Red Cross. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
I would just like to reiterate preparedness ahead of time is so key. It can be challenging to establish evacuation kits and plans and whatnot, but any efforts that people are able to put towards that is of value.
Awesome stuff, Mark. Thank you so much for the time here today.
Thank you very much.
That does it for our show for today. Big thank you to my guests for joining me on the show today. We have another busy show for you planned for tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. I'm Ryan McNally. Have yourself a great day. Thank you for listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this or any past episodes? Download the podcast at play1037.ca. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.